So 1 Peter 5, verses 10 and 11, what we will be looking at today. Now, as we've been going through this book, you've been seeing a whole lot of emphasis in this book on the idea of suffering and Christians being outsiders where they live. And because we're outsiders, we go through a lot of difficulties, hardships, trials, those kinds of things, as a result of our faith. And Peter's been talking about that all throughout this book. Really, the hardest thing you will ever do in your life is be a Christian. And I'm serious about that. It really is the most difficult thing. Walking with God is difficult. For a number of different reasons. The standard is high. But there's also a lot of opposition to it. If you're serious about walking with God. And that is true even in countries that call themselves Christian countries. Because calling yourself a Christian country doesn't make you Christian. You're not Christian because you say you were one. You're a Christian because you follow Christ. And there's a big difference between those things. And if you've lived enough time in America, I hope, to see that America isn't so Christian as the name. And that I would guess that's probably true in Korea too. Korea now is sort of has a reputation of being a Christian country. But I bet those of you who are Koreans, you look at your culture and there's a lot of external Christianity hiding a lot of not walking with God. And so there's a difference. And so walking with Jesus is hard. You know, you sin, right? You really do. I mean, just be straight. Be honest with your life. I don't want you to, like, fool God and pretend you're this holy person and then come before God and find out that you weren't so good as you thought you were. Just be honest. You sin. And people question you. People mock you. And don't you sometimes look at your life and see a mess? And you struggle with worry? Or you struggle with lust? Or maybe you struggle with wine? Or you get discouraged? Or, you know, whatever. And when that's going on, you know what you need? Here's what you need. Imagine for a moment an Olympic athlete training. And it's hard. He has to give up things. He doesn't get to go to the parties that he wanted to go to. He has to change his diet maybe because he's in training for the Olympics. And he's sweating and working and so on. He's sacrificing. And he falls down. But imagine that athlete getting a picture of the gold medal and what that does to the struggle. Or imagine for a moment a soldier. And the soldier is carrying 120 pounds on his back. He's got radios and weapons and food and water and, you know, some clothes and some more boots, and he's got all of that. And it's on his back, and he's been shot in the arm. He's been out in the cold, and he's hungry, and he's going up the hills and down the hills and the mountains, and he's seen death. He's seen more death than he cares to see. And he wants this war to end because he's tired of it. What if he could see the future and could see that he's going to be victorious in the war? That would encourage him. In the midst of all of the difficulties that he's going through, that would encourage him. And in Christ, that's what we need. We need a picture of the end. We need a picture that we're going to get through this, whatever it is. So your family questions you, or maybe getting up to pray and read the scriptures just is kind of a hassle because it takes time. And it's hard because it takes time. Or your friends think you're crazy. Or worse. Or your government may threaten your security as a Christian. And you sometimes wonder if following Christ is worth it. Is it really worth all of this trouble that I go through? I mean, why don't I just give all this up and take the easy road? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. He says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Amen. There is no better word to end that. Amen. When you think what he's saying, amen. Wow. Now, if you remember from last week, Peter just got done telling us in verse 9, resist the devil. Firm in your faith. Stay firm in your faith. Resist the devil. Now he's saying, God's got you. You're in God's hands. He's saying, it's going to be okay in Christ. It's the idea here is the same idea that Paul says in Philippians 1:6. It's a song that we sing sometimes. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in Christ. That's Philippians 1:6. That's Paul's idea. Peter's saying the same thing here. God, who began this work in you, is going to finish it. But first, verse 10, you have to go through some suffering. That's he begins it with, after you have suffered a little while. Guys, the Bible always assumes that believers do go through difficulty and suffering. It assumes that everywhere in Scripture. And so just, we need to understand that. And after you've been going through this book all this time, you should know that now. God never eliminates suffering here on earth. What he does do, however, is he overcomes it. We face suffering, but God brings us through it to the other side. We go through the battle, but we end up victors. The soldier who wins has faced a lot of suffering. And that's us. We're the soldiers who win. Now, the fact that we will overcome this is hope. And Peter is giving his readers hope. In the midst of your difficulties. And so God never wipes away the difficulties. He just gives you hope while you go through them. That's how God works with us. God doesn't want a world that is filled with sin to be perfect. That wouldn't make any sense at all. Why would you have a sinful world be perfect? A sinful world is sinful. That's why there's so much suffering in it. That's why he doesn't just wipe it away and pretend that this is a perfect world when it isn't. He wants us to see with our eyes that this world is broken. And suffering is part of that seeing with our eyes that this world is broken. So, in verse 10, you should see a contrast. So look at verse 10 for a moment. And what you should see is, after we suffer a little while, and then you should see a God who has called us to eternal glory, all in the same verse. You see the contrast, right? Suffering is for a little while, but the calling that God has for you is eternal. And what is eternal? Glory. That's what verse 10 says. You suffer for a little while, but God has called you to eternal glory. And so you put those two things together. You may suffer for 80 years, but that's like a millionth of a second compared to eternity. What's 80 years? 80 years is like that. And you're called to this eternal glory, verse 10, in Christ. That's where the glory is. The glory is in Christ. You don't have eternal glory because you're some great guy or great girl. You have eternal glory because Christ is a great God. That's why you have eternal glory. Glory. He gives it to you. He's the God of all grace. That's what grace is. He gives it to you. And so how do you get through this hardship? After you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory, will himself restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. That's verse 10. God, it's like God takes it personal. He himself is going to take care of you. He's not delegating this. He is doing it himself. It's like, imagine if the ruler of your country saw something maybe that you needed, and the ruler of your country himself came to you and said, Shinran, I'm going to take care of this for you. Jian, I'm going to take care of this for you. That's saying something. He's not sending somebody else to do it. The ruler is doing it himself. That's what God is doing. He takes your suffering personally. He sees what's going on with you. And he loves you himself. And he's going to come and he's going to bring the strength. And he does this, verse 10, by his grace. It's the God of all grace who does this. What that means is that in Christ, you are going to make it through your difficulties. In Christ. Now, outside Christ, no promises. But in Christ, it's going to be all right. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be okay in Christ. Some example here in America, I think of there are Christian business owners who specialize in wedding things, you know, photographers, bakers, those sorts of things, who are losing their businesses right now because they're Christians. Frankly, that's why they're losing their businesses, because they will not do a wedding for a homosexual wedding. And the reason why they won't is they're Christians. Their faith is causing them to lose their business. Verse 10 says to those people, it's going to be okay. Verse 10 says, you may lose your business, you may lose all your money, but the God of all grace is going to restore and confirm and strengthen and establish you. When I was in Indonesia, the church planters that I saw, that I worked with when we were there, faced a lot of persecution because they were working with Muslims. They were converting Muslims, and Muslims don't like that. But this verse says to those church planters, the God of all grace, you know, you're going to suffer after a little while, but the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory, will himself strengthen, confirm, restore, establish you. They may suffer for a time, but God will take them to glory. That's what this verse is saying. And you have difficulties, right? You all have difficulties, different ones for each of you. What do you have? What difficulties do you face because of Christ? God himself will restore you and confirm you and strengthen you and establish you. And in the end, he who has called you to eternal glory will take you there in Christ. That's verse 10. Now, Peter tells us that I believe there are two reasons why God does this. The first reason is, I believe Peter is encouraging his readers to go on. Keep the faith. It's what Paul says at the end of 2 Timothy. He's urging Timothy, keep the faith, fight the fight. You must go on like a soldier, he says to Timothy. The race is long and hard, he says to Timothy. He says, I've fought the fight, I've kept the faith. And I think Peter's doing something like that here. This is an encouragement to keep walking, even when it's hard. Don't let go of God because it's hard. That's the idea. That's why he's saying this. If you hold on to God, God's going to take care of you. That's the first reason why Peter's saying. The second reason why I think Peter is saying all this is he wants to give glory to God. This is a praise God idea when you think of what he's saying. And so, I mean, again, we get through the difficulty by God's grace. It's verse 10. It's his grace that does this. It's God who does the restoring, and God who does the confirming, and God who does the strengthening, and God who establishes you. It's God who does all of this. You don't really do much except trust him. That's your job, is to trust him. And I'm not going to say you don't really do much. I mean, God will call you to do sometimes difficult things. But it's, in the end, God who actually is going to do the heavy lifting. Kind of like if you've ever helped a small child pick something up that the small child couldn't pick up. You do all the heavy lifting, and the small child, it just looks like he's doing something. But he still has to go through what he has to go through, right? And that's what God's doing. He's in your life, he does the heavy moving, except he still wants you to move. He doesn't want you to lie on the couch while he's moving the furniture. What this means is that when you are weak, when you are hurt, you are weak. Right? Suffering makes us weak. It really does. And it means that We don't get strong by getting strong. We don't get strong by being independent Americans. That's how Americans go about getting strong. I'm just going to go do it, and we're going to go settle the West, and this is America. Welcome to America. But don't necessarily follow America. You're not going to be strong by calling upon your inner potential. That's not going to make you strong. You get strong by throwing yourself upon the mercies of God and letting Christ fill you. That's where strength comes from. Because Christianity's backwards from the way this world thinks. Because this world is broken. The way the world thinks doesn't make a whole lot of sense to God. It makes sense to the world, but it doesn't make sense to God. That's why he's giving God praise, because God's doing all of this. And then verse 11, he says, basically, to him belongs all dominion. Dominion is a word that means something like power and rule. Means God is your ruler. God has all power. That's what verse 11 is saying. And how long does he have it in verse 11? What does it say?
Forever.
Forever and ever. Now, this is saying something if you were a Christian that is getting this letter from Peter. In Peter's day, it would seem, if you were a Christian in modern day Turkey, it would seem as if all power and all rule rested in Rome because they ruled. And Peter is saying, hey guys, it doesn't. That's not where the power is. Now, that's still true today. And that's true today wherever you go on the globe. And what that means is that if you're from China, it may seem as if all power and rule rests with the Communist Party. It doesn't. If you were living in North Korea today, it may seem as if all power and rule rests with Kim Jong-un. It doesn't. If you were in Iran, it would seem as if all power rested with the Muslim clerics that rule there. It doesn't. If you were in Somalia, it would seem as if the warlords had all of the power, but it doesn't. They don't. If you were in Russia, it would seem as if Putin had all power. He doesn't. If you were in America, some people might think Trump has all power. He doesn't. Guys, Peter is saying that the rulers of the land don't hold all power. That's not where the real power is. Now, I say that because sometimes we worry about the Communist Party and we forget about God. Or we worry about Trump and we forget about God. Or we worry about whoever it is, you know, that has the ruling party of the land. And we forget all about the one who really holds all power. Now, the point of verse 11 is worship. That's the point. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter is in a sense, it's almost as if he's losing himself in the praise in this idea. To him be all dominion forever and ever. No, it isn't Caesar. Guys, it's God who has the power. Praise him. He owns all power. The Muslim clerics don't. Kim Jong-un doesn't. All of these, they don't have the power. Praise him that they don't have all the power. Guys, your government, wherever you're from, does not rule the kingdom of God. It doesn't. Your family, your culture, your government, whatever, they are not the highest authority. God is. And that's something as believers we have to keep remembering. God reigns. We celebrated communion. On the cross, Christ defeated sin. In the resurrection, Christ defeated death. Name a government that can do that. You're quiet. There isn't one, is there? Who can defeat death like our God? No one can. That's why to him belongs all dominion. He has power that no one else can touch. Now, these other authorities have delegated power. These other authorities do have power. They just don't have all power. They just don't have the highest power. But they do have power. And they can make life miserable for you. That's why Peter's audience is suffering. Rome was making it miserable for them. And your governments can do that. They can bring you trouble. But after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we give you blessing because you alone are worthy of it. We give to you our first allegiance because you alone are worthy of our first allegiance. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you care for us. We praise you. Hallelujah. We thank you that you see us through our troubles, our hardships, and our difficulties. Hallelujah. We pray that you make us a people who walk with Christ well. And that we will keep the faith, fight the fight, and continue to walk even when it is hard. By the grace of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.